Hey guys, it's Stu here. So I'm just doing this new thing called Stu's Views. And what it is myself just recording some small, short episodes. Nothing, you know, major length like we do on the MMC. Just short sort of ramblings about films, albums, books, anything that comes to mind. Now, why am I doing this? Why am I not on the MMC at the moment, you ask? Okay, the reason why is I have got a major overhaul of my garage happening, literally starting tomorrow, the first of it starts. And because I record through the day and Hunter and John record at night over their time in the US, it's going to be damn near impossible for me to just commit any time and say, yeah, I can do this day. See, the problem is with the MMC, just the insiders sort of peek through the window here, is the reason why episodes, especially in 2020, came out so few and far between was because it's not finding the film to watch or the time to watch the film. But the problem is scheduling. And 2020 wasn't our greatest year for output. It was not great, let's say that much. Yes, a lot was going on in the world, but for us, it was kind of a flat year. So we decided that 2021 would be a lot more creative. You know, there'd be a lot more content put out by hook or by crook. So I didn't want to slow the guys down by saying, can't make it this week or can't make it this day, can we reschedule? I just basically said to them, look, I'm going to be way too busy. Boys, take the reins. Just run with it. But the times that I do get to myself, in particular at night, like it is now when I'm recording, it's just nearly 11 o'clock at night, it's going to be a lot easier for me just to record some small things on the side, put them out. You guys listen to them once. They're basically throwaway episodes. But they're there just to keep, you know, the website and the iTunes feed ticking over with content. You know, I myself recently releasing things, the other boys releasing things, and just, you know, until I get back into the show. I am coming back, I promise you, okay? I'm not slowly exiting out by doing this and then fading away. I am going to come back, but like I said, it won't be for a few months yet. So having said that, you can basically get two lots of MMC, but just one will be my ramblings and one will be the proper show with Hunter and John and whoever else they have on at the time. So I am going to knock these out pretty quick. They won't be long. They'll be 10, 15 minutes, you know, depending on the episode. They might be 20, but I'll rip through them and just put them out there as they come about. So what I'm going to do for this episode one is I was on the way to work tonight and went into the garage to grab a couple of CDs to listen to in the car because you can't play your record in the car, and pulled out the Destruction Mad Butcher EP I had that I got a few months back. And I thought, well, this would be interesting to talk about because this was a real fork in the road point for the band Destruction. If those of you who don't know who they are, they're a German thrash metal band. Have been around since the early 80s and are still going, if I am not mistaken. I think they are. Yeah, so this release is from 1987, a four-track EP that came out after the Eternal Devastation album from 1986, which is when I first found Destruction through the independent metal show that was on Thursday nights. I think it was on Tuesday and Thursday nights, hosted by a guy called Andy Accept. They had all these, like this channel had all these weird names for these guys. You know, they had the Jack Sabbath was one guy, another guy was Andy Accept, Brian Maiden, all these silly metal names. You know, their first names with another name that sounded like their metal icons. So when I first heard Destruction on the Eternal Devastation album, I first heard the song Eternal Ban. I'm like, wow, this band's pretty intense. So I picked that one up from the tiny, tiny, tiny little record store I've mentioned before in the past on the MMC. The store was called Pipe Imported Records, run by a German guy named Daniel. And I went there. It was basically a mainstay for myself every Friday night was to you know, finish school and head into the city where there's stores and go to the store Metal for Melbourne, but also venture over the road, cross over Elizabeth Street and into the little arcade that Daniel's store was in. And when I say the store was small, it was small. Like it was really just the size of a living room of a normal size house. You could fit maybe 16 to 18 people in their tops, and that was it. Then you start becoming a sardine can. So when this release came out, the first thing that struck me was obviously the front cover. For those of you who know the front cover of this EP, it is awesome. It's a picture of a caricature of a guy in a butcher shop holding a meat cleaver in his right hand, and in the mirror to his right is a sort of maniacal looking caricature of the same guy with blood all over the meat cleaver, and it says "Mad Butcher." Now this is the second time that this song "Mad Butcher," which this EP is named after, has been done. It was first done on the EP from 1984 called, geez, I can't remember, I think it was called "Total Devastation," the EP. Or total, I can't remember, honestly. No, the Sentence of Death EP. I'm sorry. Sentence of Death EP it was. And that version was okay. But this version of Mad Butcher is the definitive one, but I'll get to that when I get to the song in a few moments' time. So anyway, I go into this store, Daniel's store, and saw the picture of the Mad Butcher EP. I'm like, oh, my God, what's that? He goes, in his very heavy German accent, says, "Destruction." It's very positive and heresy. Very powerful. So he put it on and was like, oh, shit, this is unreal. So I bought it. I nearly bought the picture disc of it, but I always had sort of an aversion to picture discs. I was like, oh, I want them. I want them on my wall, but I also want to play them. And I don't want to play them because I don't want the thing getting damaged. I always thought that the needle, the stylus was going to scrape away. This is my 15-year-old brain at the time, was going to scrape away all the picture off the picture disc, and I thought, nah, I don't want that. So I just bought the actual standard vinyl version of it. Yeah, mine was black vinyl. I remember when I bought the album after this, Release from Agony, I had the red vinyl version of that, but that's another story for another time. And took this home and was absolutely blown away. This was unlike anything Destruction had ever done before. Sound-wise, they had become a four-piece at this point, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, they had become a four-piece at this point. Oh, sorry, I was just checking the back of the CD here. I know of them when they were a three-piece from the Sentence of Death EP up to and including the Eternal Devastation album. They were a three-piece. They had Schmier on bass and vocals, Mike on guitars, and Tommy on drums. Well, Tommy either quit or was ousted out of the band, I can't remember, and then they got an extra guitarist in, a guy called Harry, and a drummer named Ollie in, and oh my God, those two guys made an absolute world of difference to Destruction sound. Just to give you a quick sort of portrait of what the other sound was like, it was very thrash orientated, that sort of very, you know, prominent German sound of the early to mid 80s. Anyway, this one was much different. Now, what I'll do is I'll get into the songs. There's only four of them on here. So we go to song one. It's Mad Butcher, the title of the EP. And as I said just previously, was that it had already been done on the Sentence of Death EP, but it wasn't very good. It was just rough, and it was sort of like the raw sort of first version of it. It wasn't perfected, but it was what it was at the time. They've taken it, completely reworked it. Lyrics are still the same, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're about 90 to 95% still the same lyrics as they were on the first version. Musically, it is leaps and bounds ahead of the first one. And actually, this song's been done three times, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's been done three times. It was re-recorded again on their Thrash Anthems, either one or Thrash Anthems 2 album, much later on in the early to mid-2000s, and I've heard that version, and it's okay. It's not great. It did need to be expanded upon this second version, which is the definitive one on this EP. The guitar work on this is just mind-blowing. It really is. Mike was always a decent guitarist. on the first bunch of albums when they were a three-piece, but then became very, very much accomplished and complimented by Harry, who I think was classically trained, if my memory serves me correct. And I think the drummer as well, Ollie, had a jazz background, or was a jazz drummer or something like that. And you can tell, because this EP is just off the charts musically. They've never done nothing else like it since either. The release that came after this with the same four members, the release from Agony album in 1988, is outstanding, but it doesn't quite hit the musical heights of this EP. So Mad Butcher, the song, is just a standout, an absolute staple in this set, always will be. And as I said, of the three recorded versions that they've done so far, and please, no more, enough is enough, it is the one, it's the apex of that. So let's move on to track two, and that is a song called The Damned, a song I always really liked when I first heard it. I thought, wow, this is really something different for Destruction. Well, little did I know, stupid me at the time as well, I knew then by the time I was 15, because I go, wow, is this song The Damned? What is it? And I went back to that store, because as I said, I went to the store with the German guy, Daniel, every Friday. And we're talking about the Mad Butcher EP after I'd bought it. And I said, well, I really like that song, The Damned. I said, it's so different. He goes, that is not them. That is not their song. I said, no? And he goes, that is song by Plasmatics, which was Wendy O. Williams and the Plasmatics, had released it earlier in, if I remember, I think it was 84 in their coup d'etat album. I had not heard the Plasmatics. I'd seen their pictures around. I'd see Wendy O. Williams. I always thought, oof, man, what a body on that girl. And Daniel shared the same sentiment, because he was like, I want to fuck Wendy O. Williams. She's a very healthy girl. But I had not heard their version. I'd never heard them at all. Like I said, I'd seen their pictures. And I think I'd seen the Commander of Chaos album that she had, her solo album. He had it pinned on his wall. He had a lot of albums pinned on his wall in the store, in sleeves, and that was one of them. I remember that much. So I eventually went back. It was only not long ago, maybe 2 years back, I went and listened to the Plasmatics version, the original. I said, well, it's really good, but I'm just so used to the version by Destruction now. I find that to be a song where it's a cover song actually bettering the original. And that does happen from time to time. For instance, one that comes to mind for me automatically is Judas Priest with their cover of Joan Baez's Diamonds and Rust. I've heard the Joan Baez version. I'm like, this is like a hippy dippy. Yeah, it's not very good. Okay, it's the original. It was a blueprint for what Judas Priest would do, but Judas Priest took that song and just completely made it their own. So it is that Destruction did that with The Damned, making it pretty much their own. Will they still do it these days on stage? I don't know. But they really did a hell of a job on that one. Really like it a lot. And actually didn't do the whole song. They took, I think, about the first 30 or 40 seconds, they just dropped from what the Plasmatics had done and just started at a particular point and then made it theirs. So anyway, that's track two. Let's move on to track three. This one is the one that a lot of people spoke about when it came out, one called Reject Emotions, an original by Destruction, and it clocks in at nearly 7 minutes, the longest track I think they'd done up until that point. And boy, musically, this and tonally, this was really, really different. This was by far the most out there thing they'd done. Plenty of time changes in the song, something that they weren't really known for. They were sort of just like a all guns blazing sort of speed thrash band or a mid-tempo. If the song was mid-tempo, it stayed that way all the way through. But this has got plenty of time changes in it. I don't know who the guitarist is in this one doing the lead work, if it's Harry or Mike, or if it's shared duties, but boy, oh boy, they're just absolutely excelling on this one. And it's to this day, when I just heard it today again, I really, really like it still. I think it's, would I say it's musically the best thing they've ever done? As in terms of just complete experimentation with something? No, that's coming up very, very shortly. It is one of the standout tracks and one of the ones I know that a lot of people got talking about when this was released in 87. It was like, man, have you heard that Reject Emotions song? Holy shit. And, 30-odd years onwards, it still stands up. It's not boring at all. But let's move on to the last track in this one, The Last Judgment, an instrumental. And this is Destruction just throwing everything in but the kitchen sink to see how this sound would be shaped up for the next album, as I said, was released from Agony. And, you know, this thing's only about 3.5 minutes and they're just going for it. There is just guitars everywhere. It's not a fast song. It's pure experimentation. I don't think I've heard a lot of Destruction's albums since this onwards, and they've never ever sounded as good as this. It's just, one of the few metal instrumentals out there that is really worthy of standing on its own two feet is saying, yeah, it's almost, I would put it up there as like with Metallica when they did Orion, Call of Cthulhu, the previous album, Ride the Lightning on there, which is my favorite Metallica instrumental. It's as strong as those songs. Not as long, it's only half the time of those ones, but it's incredible how these two new guys just set the sound for what was to be Destruction for the next few years onwards. And this was Destruction really at their height, especially when Release from Agony came out the year later in 88. They were absolutely untouchable at that time. That was the peak of that band. So anyway, that's that. Four songs, not a bad one on there. Cannot recommend this enough. Now, where can you buy this thing? Okay, it has been released before on vinyl back in the day and CD. But when it came out on CD, I believe it might have been, don't hold me to this, I'm just spitballing about this, I think it might have been about 1989-90 when CDs really started to take off. It was released or coupled with Eternal Devastation. So you got Eternal Devastation and you got the four songs off Mad Butcher. But I think they might have put the Mad Butcher EP first, then Eternal Devastation. I owned it back in the day, many, many, many years ago, and it either got lost or I don't know what's happened to it. I really don't know, but I did lose it somewhere along the way, or it might have got stuck in the great flood of 2006 in my garage where I lost a lot of shit, regrettably. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But anyway, this got put out in 2018 by a company called High Roller Records. You sound like a dodgy backyard company, but they're actually not. They're actually starting to gain some traction. From what I can see, they have secured the rights to all the Destruction catalog from Sentence of Death up to and including, I believe, the live album they did after Release from Agony, Live Without Sense. If they got Cracked Brain, which was from 91 as well, I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but I believe they got up to and including Live Without Sense. It's good they put Mad Butcher out on its own. It's good they put Sentence of Death out on its own, seeing as it was only ever an EP, because that one, when it came out, was also coupled with the Infernal Overkill album, the first full-length album they did. Unfortunately, these things are not cheap. They sort of price themselves out of the market with them, instead of having them at because High Roller are a European company, I think they might be out of Greece even. I don't know. They're definitely European. Instead of having them at sort of say like €6.99, they're just like €15 or something. It's just some ridiculous price. Anyway, my one of Mad Butcher, I was watching on the Amazon Australian site. It sat in my cart, and you guys, you know, when you put something in your cart and you save it for later, and the price can either jump up or it can dip. And there's a particular point when you say, right, I'm going to buy it because it's a good price for me to say, okay, pull the trigger. And it does happen. You really got to keep an eye on your Amazon cart, because some things, especially, here's a trick I found, especially when it says one available and the price is low, get it. Because that's a clearance thing. They're just clearing it out until they get a new wave of stock in. Then it jumps, really jumps right up. It's happened to me quite a number of times. Happened to me with with Madame X's second album, Monstrosity. That went from, I think it went down to like $10, and I bit the one copy available, bought it. 15 minutes later, when I just checked on it to see what sort of price it was going for again, it jumped up like $30. I was like, wow, okay. And So what it was with Mad Butcher, I had it in my cart and it was sitting at, I think, about $28 at one point. And was only sitting in the cart to watch at that point. Then at one point it was down to one copy and it dropped to $20. So an $8 decrease. I'm like, oh, okay, let's keep an eye on this. And it jumped down, or then it dipped down to about 16. And I was nearly about to buy it. Then one day I got a notification, Mad Butcher going for, what was it, $9.09 or something like that. Bang, I bought it straight away and I had it at my house the next day. So, yeah, ever since then, it's been around the $30 mark. So with this, these releases by High Roller Records, if you can get them cheap and you like what you hear of Destruction, or if you're familiar with them already, get them. They are great releases. The Mad Butcher one I'm looking at right now has got a slipcase of the actual Mad Butcher front cover, and well, basically the front cover and the back cover. And inside that is a jewel case with all the original artwork in the booklet and lyrics as well. But the only lyrics to two songs, only lyrics to Mad Butcher and to Reject Emotions. There's no lyrics to Last Judgment, of course, that's an instrumental, and there's no lyrics to their version of The Damned. I think because they either altered some or didn't do the whole song, they couldn't get permission to reprint the lyrics. So there's only lyrics in there. But there's photos. There's also a cool secondary piece that comes inside the jewel case, which is a fold-out mini poster of the Mad Butcher front cover. And it is it's very, very cool. So if you want to sort of pin that up somewhere or frame it or whatever, it's in there. I don't know if the other albums have that, like Eternal Devastation, Infernal Overkill, all that, if they do the same. I'm guessing they probably would. They also need uniform releases. I don't have the other releases at the moment. They are just priced way out of my range. If they do ever dip to a particular point, I'm not going to say they're going to get to $9.09 again. But, I mean, if they get to around $15, I'm in. Even for the Sentence of Death EP, I'll get in. I just want those early Destruction albums, you know, from Sentence of Death right up to and including Life Without Sense. Cracked Brain onwards, I don't really care for much. There's some other good ones Destruction did later on. You know, they never quite achieved that level that they did in sort of, say, 86 with Eternal Devastation, when they started getting a sort of following and, you know, getting ears raised. And people going, oh, this band's not too bad. And then, of course, with Mad Butcher. So that 87 period really to about 89, 90 is when they were just at the absolute top of their game. So, yeah, that's my what should have been a 10-minute rant about the Mad Butcher EP. Has blown out a bit more long-winded than that, but never mind. I'll try and keep them a bit more brief with the next ones going on forwards. If you do want to sample this place, you can find it. Mad Butcher is on the Spotify app, the 4-track EP, so if you want to listen to it there. But as I've been doing since lockdown, I've really, really just been buying CDs. It's films, yes, here and there, not a great deal, but I really have just been appreciating my CDs, and even the ones I've just been having lying around in the box. I call it the box. It's just been sitting in the garage for years and years and years, just this box. I go back and I'm like, shit, why did I ever put this in the box for? And it was stuff like Typo Negative, a band which I was always never fond of, but the album Bloody Kisses I listened to again. I think I mentioned on an MMC episode, and I really enjoyed it. I thought, wow, shit, I wonder what that was doing in there. And just a bunch of other ones as well I've pulled out of the box and given a listen to, and they've gone back on the shelf. So, and also this just shit ton I've been buying off of Amazon as well during lockdown, because, you know, prices have been pretty good. Like, I picked up the Ghost album prequel, the extended edition with the two extra tracks in there, and that was a tenner. $10. That was another one that was, you know, one or two copies available, and then bam, went up to about $27. I also picked up the Damned Machine Gun Etiquette album, the 25th anniversary, with all the other bonus songs that I didn't have on the other copy of Machine Gun Etiquette, which I've got, which came with bonus songs. So I wanted it all. I wanted everything. That's my favorite Damned album. So I now have two copies of that album with by two different companies with two different covers and two different sets of bonus songs on there. That was $10. Madame X's Monstrosity, as I said before, $10. And I've got more sitting in the cart that I need to get in, because I really want to build up my CD collection, seeing as I now have these racks that I've got, which will be built once my garage, and this all comes full circle, once my garage is all cleared out, the ceiling's redone, and the wife and I just completely overhaul it and have things taken out, new things put in, and I've told her I want my effing CD racks up there because I'm collecting these suckers from now on. So, Mad Butcher, what do I give it out of 10? To give it a 10 is pretty easy because it's only four songs. I'm going to give it an 8. It's not to say there's bad moments on there. There really isn't. It's from memory, I think it runs about 18 minutes, 17, 18 minutes. It goes by really quick. It flies by. That's only because I've been with this thing for, coming on 34 years now. So I really know it like the back of my hand. Yeah, I just hope they lower the prices of the other Destruction ones because I really want them. Now I've got this one, I want the others on my shelf. But, it'll happen eventually. It'll come about. Anyway, that's enough of my rambling. That's my view. That's Stu's view. Episode 1, Destruction, Mad Butcher. What do they say? Spin it or bin it, or smash it or trash it. I'm going to go with smash it or trash it. I'm going to say smash this one. Pop it on and smash it. Don't physically smash it to obliterate it. Smash it and play it loud. So, until the next view, whatever that may be. And by the way, I am doing these albums, not just albums. Like I said, I will do films. I want to do books as well, audio books. But with albums, I'm kind of going to do them because I know you guys really like the rock month that we used to do. We are no longer doing it. We pretty much come to a consensus sort of agreement that we are burnt out. We do like doing it, but we are just fucking burnt out on rock month. It is really the hardest thing to do all year. You know, movies are easy to do. The system we have at the MMC that we have for a couple of years now is rotation. So I'll pick one, John will pick one, then Hunter will pick one, which off a list of titles we've got that we all want to cover, whatever it is we want the other two guys to watch. So that's how we do it. So it's fairly easy to do, but rock month are like, shit, we've done AC/DC, we've done Cheap Trick, we've done Motorhead, we've done Ted Nugent, we've done Van Halen and all sorts of bands out there. You know, Faith No More, Mac Lads, Jesus Christ, who do we do? And we really struggled to come up with a band. We've pretty much run, I mean, I would have done The Cure. The Cure would have been one to do, but they got such an extensive catalogue, 13 albums. And unless you're a fan of The Cure, which I've liked them since 84 when I first heard them, but I really appreciated them a lot more in the last few years. Unless you like The Cure, it's an arduous task to get through some of their albums. So, getting back to what I was saying about Rock Month, it got to be a bit of a chore in the end. So, we did put a final nail in the coffin and that. But what I will do is I will still cover albums because I'm always listening to music. And when there's something that tickles my fancy, like this one, or like just some other purchase I might have done, or some that I've refound, or some I've just heard for a first time, that an album might be 20 or 30 years old and I've only just found them and I want to recommend them to you. Or there might be ones where I just say, look, I've just picked this up. Like with the new AC/DC, I've heard it. I heard it on Spotify and it's terrible. In my opinion, it's god-awful. And if this was around back then, I had to listen to it to power up then, I would have done a Stu's view on that, but believe me, it wouldn't have been very favorable because I just think it's a god-awful album and one I would have said, trash it. In my opinion, others may like, and if you do, God love you. I wish I had a scene in that album what you guys do. I just don't. It's a one-time listen for me because it's just AC/DC just being lazy, in my opinion. But so I'm not just going to do albums that are favorable. I'm not going to do films that are just favorable. It's going to be Stu's view. Listen to me sound talking in the third person like a twat here. But my view, whether it's good or it's bad. And that's that. So I'll sign off for now until next one. See you later.